Bucks Uncensored is driven by Mastro Subaru and fueled by Buffalo Wild Wings. With the B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, you get all the highlights from the menu at discounted prices every Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. We love the guys at Mastro Subaru, Pete and Steve. They run the place over there, both in Tampa and over in Orlando. And I'm telling you this, they are stick carriers, and they love the stick carrier movement. Go to Mastro Subaru, mention the stick carriers, the commish, or Bucks Uncensored, and they will give you a special stick carriers discount on your next car. It's crazy. That's all you got to do is mention it. Mastro Subaru has two locations, right here in Tampa or over in Orlando, or check them out online, MastroSubaru.com. And, of course, the OG of sponsors to Bucks Uncensored, Bricado's Sandwich Shop. We love them. 5021. East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City, and home of the best Cuban sandwich and devil crab in town. I know you're going to go by there. I just know you will. And when you do, do not forget to try that devil crab. This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it, or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't feel my face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Yeah. Right. Yeah. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Bucks Uncensored! Bucks Uncensored!
It's here. It's Game Week. Man, I'm recording this first thing Monday morning, and I woke up this morning, and I am fired up on a holiday weekend, Labor Day, and I cannot wait until this weekend. I don't know how the weather is going to affect things. I'm keeping a close eye on Hurricane Irma. It could affect things on Sunday. But I'll tell you what, it's still the start of the NFL season, and a season we hope is going to be very, very special for our Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they've been a tough team to gauge, right? I was on with Ian Beckles on 102.5 The Bone, former Buccaneer and radio host in Tampa. And we were talking about the Bucs preseason. It's very tough to give a full evaluation of what the Bucs have done this preseason, because the last time they were at full strength was their second preseason game. It was that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was the last time they were 100% healthy and had all their starters in. And guess what? As I talked about in my last podcast, That was their goal of the preseason and of training camp, was to enter week one healthy. And they did it. They achieved their goal. But with that being said, you look at the last two preseason games. In game three, a lot of people point to that one as the dress rehearsal. It wasn't the dress rehearsal for the Bucks. It was raining that night. Several starters didn't play. That wasn't the team we're going to see. And we know the fourth preseason game's a joke. A majority of those players aren't going to be on any NFL roster. So the last time we got to see the Bucks at full strength, they looked dominant against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that's a big part of the Bucks, and it was equally a big part the Jaguars being the Jaguars. But it's all over now. Free agency, the draft, the offseason, training camp, preseason, it's all done. This is the moment that all of that leads up to, the regular season. It has been since 2003, early 2003, when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, that we got to last enjoy a playoff win. The window is just starting to open again for this franchise. A window that we hope will stay open for a long period of time. And when you have key young players at key positions, as the Bucks have, that could very well be the case. We want it to start this season, though. We will do our part. The Bucks have to do their part on the field. And I'll tell you who's doing his part is Jason Light. I'm going to have Chris Myers on with me here in a moment. You know him. He does the preseason call for the Bucks. He's done it for several years now. Also from NFL on Fox, very close and in tune with the Buccaneers. And we recorded this on Saturday. And I'll let you listen to the interview, but some of the things that he points out about Lovie Smith, about the Bucs running back situation, now this was before the TJ Ward signing, but he dropped a bomb about another player the Buccaneers tried to get recently as well. Chris Myers was on fire during this interview. And I'll have it for you in a moment. But as I said, it was before the Buccaneers were able to get TJ Ward. And let me tell you something. That's the type of move that teams on the cusp make. To look at the Bucs' safety situation right now, it was okay. You were likely facing the start of the season with Chris Conte and Keith Tandy as your starters, J.J. Wilcox, and Justin Evans as your backups. Evans has not been impressive in the preseason. And Wilcox, maybe not the guy. Maybe they thought Wilcox could come in and be a starter, and it looked like Conte and Tandy were going to beat him out. So the Bucks signed 3-time Pro Bowler, 30 years old, but had statistically maybe his best season last year in T.J. Ward. They then trade J.J. Wilcox and a 7th-round pick in 2019 to the Steelers for their 6th-round pick in 2018. So in essence, the Bucks trade J.J. Wilcox and a 2019 7th-round pick for T.J. Ward, a big upgrade over J.J. Wilcox, and a 6th-round pick. That's a good trade. Follow the light. Follow the light. TJ Ward brings experience in one of the best defenses in the NFL, leadership from one of the best defenses in the NFL, hard hitting, run stopping, and ability to track the ball in the air. Is he in the prime of his career? No. But this type of signing, a one-year deal, where if he comes in and becomes that impact leader, and what have we talked about? Strength up the middle. Strength up the middle. I talked about it on this podcast the entire offseason. You've got McCoy at defensive tackle. You've got Quan Alexander at middle linebacker. The question was, who would step up and be that big-time leader and impact player at safety? Was it going to be Chris Conte? Was it going to be Keith Tandy? Was it going to be J.J. Wilcox or Justin Evans? Well, the answer has been thrown right in our face. T.J. Ward solidifies that strength right up the middle of the Buccaneers defense. Again, smart player with a ton of experience and the ability to learn Mike Smith's defense, hopefully on the run. The sooner he can learn it, the better. And you know he's been cramming since he got to Tampa. Yeah, is it an exciting time? Absolutely it is. Are there still concerns on this football team? Absolutely. I expressed those in the last podcast. We have a new song from Lazy Dave and Mark the Mailman that will be coming up right after our interview with Chris Myers. Bucks takes. And don't forget, for your Bucks takes, if you are a new listener to Bucks Uncensored, as we enter the regular season, welcome. I'm Justin Pulowski, the commish, at commish online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. JPulowski324 on Snapchat. This podcast is your podcast. We want to hear the passion from Bucks fans. The season is here. We'll have another podcast coming up on Wednesday, but Saturday's podcast leading into the first game, that's where I want to hear the passion. That's where I want to hear the excitement. That's where I want to hear your expectations. Jameis Winston said, we want high expectations. What are your expectations? I want you to get all of the stick carriers and all Bucks fans jacked up. So you take out your phone, you record your voice on your phone, and you email it to bucksuncensored@gmail.com. bucksuncensored@gmail.com. I want to see how fucking pumped up we can get all Bucks fans for this first game against the Miami Dolphins. And if you're wondering where you need to go for the first game, Abe's Place, Missouri, just south of Gulf to Bay. We are expecting an early crowd. This is going to be like the training camp takeover. I got people telling me that they're going to show up at 10, 9:30, maybe even 8:30 in the morning to line up and make sure that they have a seat at the best Bucks away game watch party. Stick carriers uniting at Abe's Place. Joe Bucks Fan is there. Abe's is one of their main sponsors. We are partnering with Joe Bucks Fan, helping them pack out Abe's Place. It's going to be loud. It's going to be on fire. It's going to be electric. We are going to have so much fun, and we are going to let them hear us down in Miami on Sunday. So make sure you are there with us. Get there early, and we are going to party, and I will be there early as well. We are going to party all day long, celebrating not just the Bucks, but the start of the best time of the year. Football, baby. Football is here, the Bucks are here, and we hope it's a very special season. Now, it's great to bring in one of the broadcasters. He's been doing the play-by-play for Bucks preseason games for a long time now, so it's awesome to bring him in. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Good to have you on. And, man, it's been a pleasure watching you do the Bucks preseason games really for a number of years now. How many years has it been?
It's funny how they Buccaneers, I'd give them credit. They gave me the opportunity before Fox Sports or anyone else to do NFL play-by-play in the preseason after the Super Bowl, after the year the Bucs won. That's kind of when I started, and through that stretch, I started. I think I worked with Ron Jaworski and Charles Davis and Merrill Hodge and John Lynch, and of course now with Rondé Barber the last few years. So it's been a lot of years that threw a lot of coaches, and it'd be good to see the Bucs not only back in the playoffs, but back at a Super Bowl, since that's kind of where I picked up, starting to do the preseason TV games and the play-by-play for the Bucs.
National perspective on the Bucs. I mean, we know there's a lot of excitement. I mean, you mentioned the stick carrier movement that we have going on down here on the broadcast for the third preseason game. But from a national perspective, is there as much excitement about the Bucs as there is here locally?
Yeah, I think so. Primarily because of Jameis Winston, and obviously when you're the first overall pick, you wait and you see. And then last year, going to 9-7 and really being a true playoff threat, the emergence of Mike Evans, and then I think adding DeSean Jackson on offense and O.J. Howard, the offensive pieces. So I don't know if people still give them enough respect because this team hasn't had a double-digit sacker on defense since Simeon Rice, and that it used to be the Bucs were all about defense. So it's an adjustment, I think, for people nationally. They're an exciting team to watch from that standpoint. And Jameis, there's still some people who have, I think, prejudged from his college days that haven't seen him enough on the national scale to give him the kind of credit that he deserves for being the kind of leader he is and slowly developing. Maybe Hard Knocks will help change some of that. But I think what Mike Smith has done with some pieces on defense and trying to mix and match, that's still going to be an issue, even though they showed great strides of improvement last year. So in summation of all that, and they play in a division where you just have the team go to the Super Bowl, and then obviously the Panthers not too far before that, so it's an uphill climb. But I think like the Tennessee Titans and Mariota, where he showed improvement with his team and what's around him, I think teams expect, at least nationally, I think fans expect their team to battle the Bucs and that the Bucs are a playoff team.
Jameis Winston is at his best, and you know this, Chris, when he's got a run game, not only establishing the run on the ground, but then that opens up play action pass, which is really where Jameis Winston does his most damage. Do the Bucs have enough at running back to be able to establish the type of running game that could really exploit those weapons on the outside?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think they have what they need to compete with some of the other teams at the highest level. And you're right. That's when he's at his best. That's what Dirk Cutter would like to do when he's worked offenses that have been successful. You gotta run and then the play action and certainly the personnel we just named on offense. But it's hard to kind of commit to a handoff to, no offense, to Jaquizz Rodgers or Peyton Barber when you've got Winston with his arm who can throw to Brate or Howard or DeSean down the field, or Mike Evans, who can make spectacular catches. So it's that sacrifice. But then you can't become one-dimensional and pass-happy, or you have the turnovers and the mistakes. I hope the offensive line is improved. I think that it is. That should help in that area. They can get by like they did, and they did a terrific job last year when Doug Martin was out and Jaquizz Rodgers was at the, picked up off the street, basically, and plugged in, and he fights hard, and you get the most out of him. But they don't have. It's funny how we've kind of gone back, and the league is cyclical. When you look at Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, and the running back from Florida State who's taken Minnesota, the trend of, oh, now we're putting a lot on running backs now, and I think maybe where they're going to have to balance that out from a Bucs standpoint is just use running backs more in the passing game on a regular basis. But it would be nice if they had a three down back that could get you on the third and one or third and two, could get it on the ground or be a threat to go downfield. So to me, that is an area of concern on this team in terms of measuring up to what the rest of the offense has.
It's strange too, Chris, because we've been talking about it locally for a few years now. Doug Martin has really, during his career, had two great seasons, his rookie season and his contract year, and that has brought on some criticism of him, and now with the suspension. Jaquizz Rodgers was signed off the street week three last year, yet they go into this offseason, they didn't sign anyone in free agency, they go into a draft that's absolutely loaded at running back, and instead of jumping on one of those running backs, whether it be second, third, or even a local guy in Marlon Mack from USF in the fourth round, they wait till the fifth round, draft Jeremy McNichols. Now he's been cut. I'm just saying from a local perspective, there is a lot of concern there and maybe a little criticism knowing how much better Jameis Winston is when they do get the run game going. Are they going to, in your opinion, they're going to have probably a running back by committee, especially when Doug Martin's out those first 3 weeks. I don't know if they're going to just rely on Jaquizz Rodgers to run the ball 20 times a game. But they're going to have to use that short pass game as an extension of the run game just with all those weapons they have in the pass game, right?
Yeah, and I wonder how comfortable, you know, Jameis is in the short passing game. You know, and yes, they can't. I don't think it's healthy for them to give the ball 20, 25 times a game to Jaquizz Rodgers. I don't think that's going to produce the results unless you get a lead. And even then, I don't know that's the answer. And it's a fair point. Now, maybe they'll find a running back. I mean, I saw a couple of running backs in the last preseason game that Washington. I'm not sure as we speak who's on the waiver wire or who isn't. But guys, it might have a little more or some firepower. And anytime you have a running back or by committee or any position by committee, if we're talking baseball, it's bullpen by committee, that means you don't have the one guy that can stand up and do the job. And so you can get by with that, but that's usually not what championship teams are made of. And even New England, when they, you know, with their running backs again, it's a whole different scenario, but they usually get one guy that's out in front and does most of the legwork, whether it's a LeGarrette Blount and reviving his career or a Corey Dillon, you want to go back historically, and then they use people in other situations that are specific, like the Charles Sims on third down. But you really need more than that. So I don't know if they can get beyond that, but I think it is an area that, yes, they need to reexamine and look at how they can improve the running game.
Chris Myers calls the Bucks preseason games, also with Fox. Glad to have him on with us here on Bucks Uncensored. Chris, defensively, last year the Bucks had a 5-game win streak in the latter portion of the season, and their defense was playing as good as any defense in the NFL. Shut down the Seahawks, shut down the Saints, really propelled them to that 5-game win streak and put them in the hunt late in the season, which was baby steps for this organization that's trying to grow. I thought one of the key moves maybe of the entire offseason, not only for the Bucks but maybe of any team, was their ability to retain Mike Smith as defensive coordinator. He was getting some sniffs as a head coach, but signed an extension to remain as the Bucks defensive coordinator. How key is that for a team that has had so much turnover over the years at head coach, at coordinators, to be able to retain a guy like Mike Smith? And he said he's committed to multiple years building that camaraderie on the defensive side of the ball.
I think, yeah, absolutely important. Him and Dirk Cutter and their connection going back is been well pointed out through Atlanta. They work very well together. Cutter wants to call the plays. The head coach, he lets Mike handle the defense. I'd like to see Jason Light, his contract extended too, because I think this group is working together, even though we can nitpick it in certain areas. I think he did a terrific job, Mike Smith, with the personnel. Certainly Grimes, Hargraves is coming out. But when you go, the most important defensive statistic is points allowed, and when you improve yourself by 10 or 11 spots, I think they went from 26th up to 15th in that area, and it still needs to be better. But that's good stuff. That's good work, and a lot of that was Mike Smith taking what he had to work with. And the obvious area of concern is, and they can disguise this and gamble, they found something with Beckwith there in the draft, but the pass rush, I thought Ayers would have more of an impact when he came in. He hasn't. McCoy is obviously a terrific player that you can build around, but they need somebody. And if Jack Smith is healthy, but even there, let's not, you know, he's not exactly the all-pro sacker. So you need an end rusher that can apply some heat. I don't know how Mike Smith is going to work around that. But yes, he's a key guy to the development of this team going forward, and a perfect complement to what Dirk Cutter does on offense.
When you you've done games all over the NFL, obviously from a national perspective. When you look at the duo of linebackers they have in Quan Alexander and Lavonte David, and the way Beckwith played this preseason, they might have gotten a steal with a guy with a late third round pick that was coming off an ACL. Man, he looked really impressive during the preseason. But let's just focus on that duo of Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. I hate saying where would they rank, but where do you put them among linebacking cores around the NFL?
I would, yeah, Yeah, I'd probably put him in the upper third. And I, in the Bucks defense, at least generally now what they're doing with Mike Smith, a lot of the time, maybe 65-70%, you're playing with two linebackers out there, right, because of the receivers and the DBs that you need in the game. But I love the way those guys play. I mean, how they developed and how well they work together. And I think that is a strength that this defense can build on. And maybe that's how you kind of overcome the lack of a pass rush. But I think those two, and if we just talked about their play and how they work in a defense, certainly in the top 10, upper third of combos of linebackers in the NFL, that's off the top of my head without having a chance to closely examine. There's, you know, in Minnesota you got a couple of guys, but usually you think of the linebackers in sets of three. But if we're talking about those two, I would say that's a dangerous combo.
Chris Myers on with us. Chris, we live in a knee-jerk society, and you look at what Jason Light has done as general manager. You said you want to see him extended, as do I. You want to keep building what he's already built so far, both with the youth and going out strategically and getting veterans that can come in on shorter contracts to help develop the young players on their roster. I think he's done a masterful job of rebuilding a roster that was really depleted a few years ago. With that being said, he misses on a second-round pick, obviously, in Roberto Aguayo. He also missed on a second-round pick in Austin Seferian Jenkins. And you start to see some of these national analysts that might not be following the Bucks as closely as you and I are saying that, you know, Jason Light, that's one of the worst moves of all time. He deserves to be fired. I think that's just asinine. But when you look at a miss like that, you also have to take into account all of the hits that he's had, and he's had a lot of them over the last 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, and I'm glad you balanced that out. Seferian Jenkins, like Doug Martin, there are some off-the-field problems and issues that entered in. You don't know where they had them as players, if you drafted them, if they developed those and they had the talent and then had some issues that cost them. Look, on the Aguayo pick, if you feel like you, and I would agree, I wouldn't say it's the worst draft pick in history. People who said that, I think, are uninformed. And I know there were some people on a national scale that were way out of line with that. They were just, you know, piling on and jumping. And so, okay, it wasn't a great pick. It didn't work out. And you make a mistake, you own up to it, you move on from it. And that's what they had to do. They gave him every chance. I know he was released by the Bears. Hopefully, Aguayo, with the strength of his leg, gets a chance somewhere and gets it right, what he has to do to kick in the National Football League. But I do believe, if you feel you go back, I mean, we can go back, hey, they had Connor Barth, they had Matt Bryant. You know, you had kickers that are still in the league, especially Bryant, and having success that you could have held on to. That's not his fault at this time. But if you feel like you get the right guy, just like the quarterback, which I think they hit on when they could have gone Mariota or some other way, you go for it. And they did with that pick, and they're trying to rebuild. And so that's a glaring mistake that I think we can look past. But I just think some of the other moves that he's made, and he's trying to do the right thing, Jason, and he had to deal with the exit of Lovie Smith and then the emergence and the change with Dirk Cutter. I think he's trying to say, we got a franchise quarterback, it's a passing league, you know, let's put all that we can around him and have success. I think that's why Deshaun Jackson and Howard were moves that he made. So, yeah, you can't, if you're the Bucks, you know, you can't keep changing every few years the coaches. It starts to work against you. And having said that, I think it's a fair question, though, and this is what, who knows what ownership believes, but this is a pivotal year. You know, we talk whether they're playoff contenders. I mean, if Winston is healthy, this team has to get back to 9 wins or more, or somebody might pay a price for that, and whether that's fair or not, I think that's something that may be going through the minds of some people in ownership.
Is that what makes Jason Light so attractive as a general manager, is that he can park his ego at the door? And if he misses on a pick, he's not going to just continue to ride it out. Oh, he's a second-round pick, we got to just go with him. Well, that's going to lead to losses, which is going to lead to you losing your job. Instead, he just says, you know, cuts his losses immediately after one season, after the first preseason game of the second season. He cuts his losses. To me, that's a sign of a great general manager that, hey, I missed on a pick, I'm going to cut my loss, I'm going to check my ego at the door, and we're going to put together a great football team that's going to win football games. In essence, that should lead to him remaining as a general manager for a long time. I mean, is that the sign of a very good general manager that could become great?
Yeah, because he's taking responsibility instead of letting it linger on and affect his team, let's say, or his coach. They can't afford, the Bucks couldn't afford to lose games. We're talking into the regular season, let's just say, if Aguayo, you just can't afford that doubt. It starts to change your play calling. Hey, we got a guy who can't, you know, is not reliable from inside 50. And so he's making this move now, saying, hey, or when he did it early in the preseason, and saying, that's on me. And I also saw it, you hit it with the, this is not an ego-driven guy, Jason Light. He's a team guy who works well with John Spytek, Mike Greenberg, some of the other people in the front office, along with his coach. And I was impressed with it, the way he handled when we first came in. Aronde and Barber and I had a chance to kind of sit in on some stuff with Lovie Smith, who was kind of calling most of the shots and running things his way, even going back to the Josh McCown and that quarterback disaster decision that was kind of pushed. And I just thought he handled all that very well. It didn't throw anybody under the bus. It took his share of responsibility, and then when the change was made, I think has adjusted well with where Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith have gone with the team, and they seem to be. When I sat with Dirk Cutter in some of these meetings and asked about, hey, would you be looking on the waiver wire for a running back, or are you interested in a Joe Hayden? You know, he very even off the record, hey, that stuff, Jason. You know, you let Jason Light handle that. You'll have to ask him about that. Which, by the way, they were interested in Hayden. That was somebody they would have gone after, but there was no chance. And who knows where the running back decision is. But the point is that I think Jason Light works well with who's here. And so unless there's some disastrous fallout or catastrophic, instead of going back and saying, well, you missed on this guy, you missed on that guy, I think let's go forward with this because they have a good thing going. Let's not judge where the play calling, where the games go within that. I think there is enough, there's enough personnel to contend, as we saw from last year.
All right, Chris Myers, appreciate the time. Before I let you go, I know you mentioned the movement during that third preseason game, and I know a lot of people over there inside that building at One Buck Place have been talking about it, but your thoughts on a stick carrier movement, a fan movement, getting behind the team. You've been following the Bucks for a long time. I've been a fan of the Bucks since I was a little kid, so I've never seen anything quite like this. Your thoughts on the stick carriers and what this could do, especially if the Bucks get off to a hot start this season?
Yeah, well, as a Floridian growing up and to remembering the very early years of when the Bucks were kind of the laughingstock and how they changed things from that Super Bowl and now they've evolved. It's a different kind of Buccaneer team but they, with Jameis Winston on the map, they're respected around the league when they come to town. And I say that because you can't like add fake nicknames, or fans will remember the Steel Curtain and the Purple People Eaters. We're talking about teams that those things have to latch on. Even America's team, they take on a form on their own, and they're established over time. And what I like about just being kind of a history fan anyway of U.S., not only football history, but U.S. and President American history, Teddy Roosevelt that walks off and carry a big stick. I love that Dirk Cutter went there with the passion that he did, and even though he worked the obscenity in, that we don't repeat what he said. That we have people have seen enough of that in Hard Knocks to know that where he comes from on that step. But I like that he said it at a key time. It was natural. Organic is the trendy term to use, that the team latched on, and then fans did. And then for the fans to come out, the stickers to be out, at practice, and for Dirk Cutter to notice that, to go over there was a connection there. And this is what I mean about that. There's nothing artificial. So it's a real thing. And I think, look, Dirk Cutter, it means a lot to him. I can tell you that when I sat and talked to him about it and after that. And I think if fans grab onto it and players and he reacts to it, it's a positive thing. And hopefully it moves forward, and at least he's got somewhere to go. He did tell me, and I mentioned this in the broadcast, I just thought it was cool that I said, you're a guy in your 50s or whatever, and you have to relate to young players to deliver the message you want. And I said, sometimes, we've seen you're a teacher, but you're a coach, and sometimes you got to drive the point home. And he said, I have my daughter's a coach, and one plays volleyball. I have a son at Portland State, and they're all in that age range from, 19, 20 into their early 20s. And I run stuff by them to make sure I don't sound, not cool, or it's something that they don't hold on to. And I thought it was kind of interesting, a filtering system. He said, sometimes they shoot me down and say, come on, Dad, that's not going to work. Well, people aren't going to buy that. But anyway, the stick carrier is, and his comment, that is one thing that has worked. It seems to be very natural. And so hopefully it'll carry on forward. I think those things take on a life of their own. The more the team has success, and I expect this team to have success.
Completely agree, Chris. We appreciate you taking time, and we love watching you during these preseason games. And best of luck to you during the regular season.
All right, no, pleasure. pleasure being on with you. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep a close watch on the Bucks throughout the season and on the NFL on Fox.
Definitely. Pleasure. Chris, thanks.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too. All right, Chris Myers on with us. We got more, including your Bucks takes. This is Bucks Uncensored.
They're among the most intelligent creatures in the world. Fun-loving, fast-swimming dolphins. And in Broward County, they are dying.
What's this? Smell like dead fish.
Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins.
Bay Breeze, we got our fillet knives out, eating thin soup like we're fucking Chinese. You're gonna wash up on the beach after an hour, then we'll treat you like Sandusky with a marine mammal in his shower. Talking shit like a Jai's the best back you ever had. Take a step back, man, get your hand out of Ricky's bag. Winning once every 10 years is a damn disgrace. Last time you won the East, Angelina was sitting on Brad's face.
Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins.
Lazy.
What's up?
Tannehill's knee exploded. Damn. They got Jay Cutty now.
Oh, yeah?
Get it from the muscle.
We gon' smoke Jay Cutty like a switch. Hit his shoulder, make him spin up like a twist. Man, they gon' find out by the pressure. I ain't wishing you luck. God bless you.
Let's do it the easy way. You're Favre, I'm Shanahan. Now lay down and put my nuts in your mouth like we planned. I'm just happy you landed Jay Cutty. Ain't you? We gonna slap the taste out his fucking mouth till he's tight too.
Like a G-Mac with the sack. Go on, help him up. Take a sip with him. Tell his old line to tighten up. Pick a plot. Get a shovel, start digging up. I know it's tough, but man, you just ain't good.
Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins. Dead dolphins.
This one's for Smitty and all the stick carriers in the bridge. If you're keeping it real in Dirty Bird Country, you know how we fucking roll. Jersey Ninja Turtle Green!
Bucks Uncensored.
I did get word that the Bucks did not play again. Let's get it started for Thursday's game. Let's keep that up, Bucks. This is Bucks Uncensored. We got Bucks takes. Remember, you can always send in your passionate Bucks takes. We want to hear from all Bucks fans and let that passion show right here on Bucks Uncensored. Record your voice on your phone and email it in to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. This is the part of the podcast where we hear from these Bucks fans, and man, these Bucks takes, as we get into the season, the passion is starting to pour out, and I love hearing from my guy Bubba Buck on one of the current Buccaneers he ran into the other night. What up, Bubba Buck?
What's going on, Kamish? What's up, stick carriers? This is Bubba Buck. I got a special guest for y'all and a story tonight.
How's it going, y'all? It is Long T. Before I start with this story, I'm going to give myself some credibility. My parents bought season tickets in 1999. I've been there for the good. I've been there for the bad. I've been a Bucks fan all the way. And we got a story for you guys tonight.
So we're in Atlanta, first off, and we just want to say, fuck
the Falcons.
These people are trash. Just saying. First off, we got a great story for you guys. We're walking up in the bar at Big Sky, and who do we see but the 2017 draft pick first, 19th overall, O.J. Howard. He was the nicest guy on the planet. we started talking to him, and we said, man, like, are you cool enough to take a picture with us? And he's like, of course, man. Like, we love y'all. Like, go Tampa Bay, like, all this stuff. And we were like, what does Cutter say? What does Cutter say? And he's like, carry that stick. We started doing the chant with him. He starts singing to us, hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. And we started singing with him. He was the nicest guy. He took some pictures with us. It was so cool. And he was rowdy, but he was composed. He wasn't showing his ass. He wasn't being ridiculous. He's a nice guy. And we got some pictures with him. He was so cool. He was such a nice guy. And my boy Long T is out here. We're just in Atlanta, and we just want to say, fuck the Falcons. Fuck them. They're awful. We're going to sweep them this year. We just want to send in a Bucks take. It's pretty late. It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning, but we just want to let y'all know that OJ is without a doubt a stick carrier. He was doing the Cutter chant with us. Speak softly and carry that stick. He was going in. It was unbelievable. So cool, so cool. And we're so excited for this season. I can't even tell you. Long T's face right now is just ridiculous. He's so excited. But we just want to sign off and send in another Bucks take. Let's go, Bucks. Fire them fucking cannons and speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Man, it's great to hear O.J. Howard all fired up, man. This team is fired up. This fan base is fired up. Now it's time to all go out together, work together, and get to a lot of wins this upcoming season. Rodzilla the motherfucking killer.
Yo, this is Rodzilla the motherfucking killer, and I'm back with another Bucks take. And, man, I'm a little pissed off today, man. First, let me give a shout-out to my man, Spectre, my girl, Rachel Crenshaw, and OKC Boys. Back to what I was talking about, man. I got my big-ass sack right here. Of course, y'all know, what's in the sack, Zilla? Well, I got it in the sack today. Well, inside the sack today, we got a paper shredder and a big-ass can to hold the fuck up. Man, let me tell you what's on my mind. They'll get it off my fucking chest. I was reading on Facebook, and it ain't just this one cat. He ain't the only one. I know there's other people out there that feel this way. But he's going through the our season, looking at our schedule, and when he got to the Patriots, he put down, and he put on Facebook, oh, that's a definite loss for us. Man, hold the fuck up, man. Looking at our lineup, there ain't no definite loss to no motherfucker, man. I don't know what he's thinking, but we're not here wasting our motherfucking time getting together at all these games, yelling our fucking heads off to give our team that big-ass motherfucking advantage of home field that they deserve, because this is by far, I didn't say by far, but this is the best team on paper that this organization has put together as a whole. As a whole. Man, fuck the Patriots. Yeah, they got Gronkowski, but he's injury prone. We got two good tight ends. They got Amendola and Cooks and Hogan. We got Mike Evans, D-Jax, and Humphreys. I take our receiving core over theirs. See, I'm just tired of this shit, man. If you're not going on board with us, I mean, what the fuck is our team out there getting ready for? Why are they even playing the fucking football if they can't beat the Patriots? Why even play week 5? Why are we even suiting up for that shit? Why is Dirk Cutter wasting his fucking time getting our team ready to play these motherfuckers? Why even think about going to the playoffs if the Patriots go to the Super Bowl? Should we even fucking show up? This is the type of shit that pisses me the fuck off. So tell you what. Take your stick carrier card and shred that bitch. Because that don't make no goddamn sense, dude. We are here to service our team, and they are here to service us. And that brings us to this. Whoa. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
He is the motherfucking killer. Way to go, Rodzilla. All right, more. Let's get to Chris in Titusville. Hey, Chris.
Yo, Commish, this is Chris from Titusville. Follow me at C-Night 1906. Anyway, Commish, congratulations on getting your sponsors, man. That's a real big coup for the stick carriers. Finally back, I haven't did a voice memo in a while. You know, been coaching girls basketball, but now football season is finally here. I wake up today, Bucks signed TJ Ward. Jason Light's not messing around. And I'm looking forward to meeting you and all the fellow stick carriers at Abe's place. Speak softly. And carry that stick, ghost.
Chris, looking forward to seeing you at Abe's place as well. Yeah, I mean, it's really awesome when you got Buffalo Wild Wings and Mastro Subaru wanting to join forces with Bricados, and just everyone just come together, B4. It's really awesome. It really, really gives me a nice adrenaline boost. And I tell you, you know, just sitting with the guys at Mastro Subaru, you all are going to be able to meet them at all these events. But Pete and Steve are, they're stick carriers. They're listeners to the podcast. They're huge Bucks fans, and they just wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be a part of the movement and do what they can. That's why they're offering special discounts. Just if you say you're a stick carrier and you want to go in for a new car. So test it out. Go and see. Maybe you get the deal that you're looking for on a new car at Mastro Subaru, whether you're in Tampa or Orlando. They've got locations in both cities. And then, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings is just phenomenal. I mean, that those watch parties that we're going to put on there are going to be insane, just insane. So it's going to be a lot of fun this football season. I hope you all are ready. I'm ready. I cannot wait for Sunday at Abe's place and then our first tailgate party next week, uniting with What the Buck. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be fantastic. Before we get to more Buck stakes, what about Chris Myers? What he had to, I mean, just unloading on the Bucks running back situation. Not a fan of it at all, including Doug Martin. Also, I mean, did you catch what he said? Well, first off, Joe Haden, Bucks were going after Joe Haden. They just knew he wasn't going to come here. And Lovie Smith. Now, remember, when you're talking to a guy like Chris Myers, I mean, he's getting the inside info from everyone inside One Buck Place. Chris Myers saying on this podcast that, again, people want to, and I've heard people still doing it, well, Jason Light missed on a lot of free agents his first year as general manager. Well, Chris Myers just kind of put that to bed by saying, no, Lovie Smith had complete control over that free agency period. And that's why they went out and signed who they signed. And that's why Lovie Smith's not here anymore. I mean, I'm very impressed with Chris Myers and hope to have him back on Bucks Uncensored maybe during the season. Fantastic, fantastic tidbits and information that you're only going to get right here on Bucks Uncensored. So awesome stuff. All right, we got a couple Bucks takes left. Let's get Frank the Tank on.
Kamish, it's Frank the Tank from Chattanooga, Tennessee with a Bucks take for you. Kamish, just reading up on the news that Buccaneers released Jeremy McNichols. There's not a lot of surprise to that, just watching how he did and Hard Knocks and reading from Joe Bucks fan how he was doing in camp. But, Kamish, you know, when you draft a player in the fifth round, they don't necessarily make the team. But now we're in the predicament of having the exact same running back depth chart that we did last year. And last year we just couldn't get it done with our running backs. So I know during the draft process, some of us were hooked for Cook. Some of us were Dixon for Mixon. Some of us even became big Marlon Mack fans after you hyped him up and just reading the reports from different scouts. But, Kamish, you know, are we going to just keep the running backs that we have on the roster? Or you think we're going to maybe try to reach out on some free agent that was just cut from another team?
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it.
Crushed it! know if we can get it done, Commish, with the ones that we have right now. And even with all those weapons on the outside, if you don't have some kind of threat as a running back, then the defenses are just going to plan for just Jameis Winston to throw the ball. So, Commish, just want to get your 2 cents on that. Stick Carriers, y'all keep doing what you're doing. And thanks to all the sponsors. As always, boys, go Bucks.
Hey, running backs are going, these running backs for the Bucks are going to be tested immediately. With this storm overhead and, you know, whether it be windy or rainy or both, I would anticipate weather playing a factor in this first game against the Dolphins. You have to be able to run the football. So that's the Dolphins' strength, is running the football with Jay Ajayi. It's not the Bucks' strength, not with these running backs. So that's a big time concern to start this regular season. I just saw on Twitter that, you know, plans are already, you know, being, I guess, options are being thrown about. We don't have anything yet, but, you know, we don't know if they're going to be able to play the game in Miami. We don't know if they're going to play the game in Miami on Sunday, or if they're going to back it up to Monday, or if they're going to move the game. I don't think they would move it to Tampa. That would be a disadvantage. Would they move it to Tampa? Or would they move it to Orlando? Different options right now for Sunday's game, but they've got to keep a close eye on this major hurricane out there and how it could affect things down in Miami and really throughout the state, because we know living here that these hurricanes are very unpredictable. So it'll be crazy to see how this plays out this week, but I would anticipate wind and rain playing a factor in the game no matter where it's played. So they better get the that offensive line going, because they're going to have to open up some holes for these running backs. It's a major concern. And they haven't, as of me recording this podcast, they have not gone out and found another running back. So it looks like they're going with the trio of Jacquizz Rodgers, Charles Sims, and Peyton Barber. It's going to be a running back by committee. None of them are going to knock your socks off. And they're going to have to lean heavily on that offensive line in the short pass game as well. Is it a concern? Absolutely. It's concerning that they haven't been able to properly evaluate running backs over the last few years. Just my opinion. I think Charles Sims was a bit overhyped. Good third down back, nothing more than that. They waited and got Jeremy McNichols, and he did absolutely nothing for me. So, yeah, I mean, at what point are they going to be able to, if you can find running backs anywhere, right? That's all we hear. Running backs are a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere. Then why haven't the Bucks been able to find them? I hope they can find them. Because that's the missing piece to completing this entire offense. And maybe it doesn't happen this season. But again, if the window is just starting to open and you have all these young weapons on offense, to me, I'd want to complete that offense with a running back, hopefully soon. Again, I don't think it happens for this season, but maybe in seasons to come. Thanks, Frank. Last one's going to be Lee. Hello, Lee.
Yeah, what's up, Pulaski? What's up, Stick Carriers? It's Lee from the T, man. Just got a quick bus take. Just want to say, Justin, don't expect me to be excited about us signing a safety. We just drafted one in the second round. Our defense has looked okay in the back end during the preseason. I don't see the need for it, but I tell you what I do see a need for. I see a need for some defensive linemen, and I see a need for a running back. So I know it's early in this process, so maybe he got something up his sleeve. If he does, that's great, but it didn't move my meter at all. Bring me in some more pass rush. Bring me in a ball carrier. I wish we had drafted that stud running back, that horse like I wanted in the draft, or brought one in free agency, but we didn't. We rolled with some, you know, stub, another Doug Martin clone, some stubby compact, you know, 5'8", 5'9", running back. I really don't like those style runners. I really don't. They don't cover enough ground for me. We don't have a home run hitter. We lacking that out the backfield. That's what we need so we can complete this team and make this run. But that's my buzz take for now. Speak softly. Keep carrying that stick. Go Bucks.
Yeah, anytime you can sign a three-time Pro Bowler and a big-time leader, no matter what position, and you can do it now, I'm all for it. And TJ Ward's an upgrade at safety, so you know, I'd much rather them sign that type of impact player at a position maybe they weren't weakest at, but they could improve at, rather than just signing a CJ Spiller who's just bouncing around the league. You know, I looked at some of the running backs out there and, you know, what Matt Jones, yeah. I mean, it's not like Matt Jones has lit it up for the Redskins. Would he be better here? Is he an upgrade here? I mean, you just drag your shoulders. I think he'd be another one in the mix. I don't know if he'd be a big-time upgrade. CJ Spiller, who are some of the other running backs? Those were the main ones, I think. Somebody asked me about Ronnie Hillman. No. No, 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 no. So, I mean, when you have an impact player like TJ Ward out there, I have no problem with Jason Light pouncing on him and wanting to continue. Because if they can have that dominant defense, man, and their defense on paper is better than the defense they had last year, and we all know how well the defense played down the stretch last year. Hey, I lied. I do have one more Bucks take. We go all the way out to Oregon. Our buddy there is Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Justin. Commish. Brandon out in Oregon at Papa Bucks on Twitter. I just want to send in this take on the final cuts, the final 53-man roster. I'm cool with all of it, man. The only one that I'm kind of scratching my head on is, why the fuck do we keep Cameron Lynch and drop Riley Bulla? Is there something I'm missing here? I mean, granted, all I've really seen is, you know, the preseason games where they've played and what we've seen on Hard Knocks, and I'm far more impressed with Riley Bulla than Cameron Lynch. Like, are we just keeping him because his name's Lynch? I don't get that. I thought for sure if we were going to keep six linebackers, Bulla would be one of them. I don't know, man. I hope they keep him on the practice squad because I just love the guy's heart and his energy. And I think he has it in him to be a stud. If nothing else, be a real quality backup. Anyways, the regular season's getting ready to kick off. I can't fucking wait. I think I'm going to be catching the game at Buffalo Wild Wings in Salem out here in Oregon. So, yeah, any of you Northwest guys that are wanting to watch the game somewhere, come join me down at Buffalo Wild Wings. Anyways, thank you to all the sponsors. Let's keep this shit going. This is going to be a fun, exciting fucking season. I cannot fucking wait. Go Bucks!
Yeah, I can't wait.
Fire the cannon! Oh, stick carriers, unite! Buck fans, unite under any name you want. Let's get together. Let's raise the fucking roof! Go Bucks! Speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick! Take back Ray J, guys. Hope to see you this season. Stuck it.
All right, there we go. All right, Brandon, thanks, and we are all fired up. We'll keep an eye on the hurricane. Check out JoeBucksFan.com for all the updates on that. We still have our away game viewing party set up for Sunday at Abe's Place, but you know, as the weather shifts and as we get further updates, we will continue to update you both here on Bucks Uncensored and at JoeBucksFan.com. Either way, fired up for the regular season. Hope all of you do well if you have fantasy drafts this week, and look forward to hearing those Bucks takes, the passionate ones. It's here. Game week. Cannot wait. Justin Pawlowski, at Commish Online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. JPawlowski324 on Snapchat. This podcast is three times a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, during football season. So when you're done watching either a Bucks away game or leaving the stadium for a home game, make sure you record a Bucks take immediately following the game. Giving us that raw passion right after the game for Monday's podcast. And then, of course, Saturday's podcast, the pregame podcast, where we want to hear the passion from the Bucks game, from the Bucks fans as well. BucksUncensored@gmail.com is where you send your voice memos, your Bucks takes to get right here on Bucks Uncensored. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean. The podcast downloads to your mobile device at noon on each of those days. If you want it before noon, you just go to joebucksfan.com. Uh-oh. I hope I'm not losing my voice. I might have to speak softly the rest of this week and then bust out that big motherfucking stick once we get to this weekend and we start the season. Cannot wait. God, this is going to be a long week. Although it's a short week, which is a good thing. All right, we go right back into this. We end the podcast in the words of the Godfather himself, Dirk Cutter, when he said these words, but I play them for you in a much sexier voice. Oh, yes.
Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
You got that right. And with that, we say, nailed it.